Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Personality Types, Shir number 9. So today we're going to recap everything we discussed till now and summarize it and clarify it. There is a chapter in the book Type Talk called Celebrating Differences, the 8 Preferences. We talked about these 8 preferences, which is really 4 basic preferences that each human being has. Either they're an I or an E, introvert or extrovert. Either they're an S or an N, sensing or intuitive. Either they're a T or a J, thinking or feeling. And either they are a J or a P, judging and perceiving. Again, not that they are that, but that is their preference, where they're noted to, where they turn towards. So here is the idea. There are different types of functions that involve gathering information, how you gather information. And then there is the function of making decisions based on the information that you gathered. One is called information gathering function, and the other one is the decision-making function. And we're going to discuss first how you gather information. In these 8 types, or these 4 preferences that every human being has, the information gathering function is the S versus N concept. When you're a sensor or an intuitive, that's the mode of how you gather information. It's a never-ending process of taking in information about the world around us. So we're going to discuss this first, because this is, even though it's the second thing we discussed, right? We discussed IE and then SN, but the truth is, here's where we begin, because nothing takes place without first gathering some information, right? For example, an alarm clock rings in the morning. That's information. How you greet that new day, whether you're going to be joyful or the reverse, that's a decision. That's something else entirely. So we're going to talk about how you gather information. So let's talk about how a sensor gathers information. As you perceive and observe and collect data about the world, do you prefer to be quite literal about it all? Do you prefer to be practical, to be realistic, and enjoy the tactile, the actual feeling side of life? The experience, the hands-on experience, the tangibility, the here and now part of the situation. If you do that, then your preference is towards S, sensing, and you're designated the letter S. They go in sequence, they're present, they're realistic, they're actual, they're down to earth, they're factual, they're practical, and they're very specific. So if you are an S, if you like things presented to you in an exact and sequential manner, and you're relying mostly, primarily, on your 5 senses as means of gathering information, what you can taste, what you could touch, what you could see, what you could hear, what you could smell, and you prefer discussing facts and details, that is what an S is all about. And they are more like 70% of the population are S's, are sensors. The other way of gathering information, so there you gather information in a concrete way. When you gather information in a more abstract way, not like what we just said, but more figurative about it. We gather information from your 5 senses, but it's not just your 5 senses. Now you'll look for your intuition, for possibilities, for meanings, for relationships between various things, looking at the grand scheme of things. The word they use now is the holistic aspects of things in its entirety, or in the theoretical framework, approximate, you know, and those type of concepts. That's an intuitive, and that's 30% of the population. They're more future-oriented in concepts, inspirational, heads in clouds type of things, fantasy, meaning imagination, ingenuity, and things like that, and the more general overall. Now, the difference between an S and an N is very crucial, because that's how we gather information from the starting point. So here's an example of a frustration between an S and an N. An S, again, means sensor, concrete. N means intuitive, more theoretical. So listen carefully. The S says, what time is it? And the intuitive says, it's late. The S says, but what time is it? And the N says, it's time to go. The S is getting now upset. Hey, read my lips. I asked, what time is it? The intuitive says, it's past 3. And the S is exasperated. That's close, but no cigar. I asked you a question 4 times to get a close answer. And the intuitive says, you shouldn't be so picky. So in reality, the S, when he asks one time what time it is, he's very concrete. He wants to say it's exactly 2:50, 2:42. That's what he wants. The N doesn't translate it that way, so he's more vague about it. That's a typical SN type of communication problem, because S's are literal. They ask specific questions for what they want specific answers for. And the N, the intuitive, may find 100 ways to provide an answer, but none of them is what the sensor is looking for, because by an N, everything is relational. Everything needs to have meaning. They're not looking for something in particular. Very often, they may walk right by something without recognizing it. So here's an interesting story. They were visiting friends, and an S wife, a sensing wife, and an N husband, intuitive husband. That was the situation. They had a party, and the S wife rearranged the living room to accommodate the party. Her husband, who's the N, clouds in the sky, N intuitive type of person, walks through the room, trips and fell over the newly moved coffee table. The wife laughs. How could you be so stupid? And the husband swore he didn't see it. And the S wife says, what do you mean you didn't see it? How could you miss it? But the truth is, that's how intuitives are. If there's no need for him to see the table, he's not going to see the table. If he needed to a magazine, or he had a glass in his hand of water that he wanted to put it down, then yeah, he would notice the table. He would notice the change. But that wasn't needed now. So that coffee table didn't exist for him. So you have this type of NS dilemma. Very, very interesting. The one joke, for example, an N asks an S, what was this book about? And the S says, it's about 300 pages. Very literal. So this NS, there's a lot of humor to it, but it could be challenging sometimes. Senses prefer to learn through facts and in sequence, and N's jump, take leaps along the way. So that's information gathering. Then the next concept is decision-making function. When you're actually making a decision, you're gathered information, which is an open-ended way through S and N functionality, and now you're making the decision. And the way you make the decision is, again, that's the TNF. Do you make it in an objective way or as a T, or you make it in a subjective way as an F? So talking about a T first, you may be among those who, in the decision-making process, prefers a very logical, detached, analytical, driven by objective values as you come to conclusion. They tend not to get personally involved in the decision, just want to see the consequence of the action. They strive for justice, for clarity. They're called firm-minded. These individuals have a preference for the thinking decisions. That's designated with the letter T. Objective, firm-minded, laws, firmness overall, just, clarity, and a certain detachment. On the other hand, for others, this is the F, the decision-making process is by interpersonal involvement, subjective values. Words like harmony and mercy and tenderhearted come to mind with this group. The impact of the decision on people is very important to their final decision. They identify and assume other people's emotional pain. So that's an F decision. They base their decisions based on the F. Now, to make it clear, thinkers feel and feelers think. But we're talking about something different. We're talking about the process one prefers to make the decision. Now, at their worst, the thinking people think that the feeling peoples are fuzzy-headed, and the feeling people believe that thinkers have ice in their blood, that they're cold. Not necessarily true either way. And T's and F's, if they don't learn to work with each other, they could be like ships in the night, having negative feelings with unresolved issues. Now, here is an example that will explain the TNF decision-making process very well. Let's take this example like this. A parent promised their teenage daughter a car. that she was going to use to travel to a Friday night party. They said, you're not going to drink. And she's responsible that way. She's not going to drink. She has the car to go to a party on Friday night. Again, it's a secular book. Fine. But what happened was there was an unexpected snowstorm. Not a crazy, crazy blizzard, but let's say 5-6 inches, whatever it is. Road conditions were less than to be desired. That's new data, right? So that's new data came on the scene, and now they're going to reevaluate the decision. Are they going to let the daughter take the car Friday night like they promised originally? Or now because of that snowstorm and worse road conditions, they're going to backtrack and say, no, you can't take the car. So here I'm going to explain the T and the F parent. Arguments for getting the car, arguments for not getting the car. So here is the T. The T is, again, the thinker, analytical, is going to now give a decision why the daughter should have the car, even though the conditions, the snow, created worse road conditions. So here's where the thinker parent is saying, we can learn a lesson from this. Parenting involves learning how to take risks, learning how to take responsibility. Parenting is training yourself to let go, and it's good practice to let go when she's no longer under the roof. So according to my calculations and my objective thought process, the risks of the road conditions being worse are outweighed by the benefits of the learning experience that she will have. So if you noticed, all the words I said in the logic of this parent saying, I'm going to give the daughter the car, was based on objective thinking logic. Now here's a feeler parent saying the same thing about giving the car to the daughter. And his process or her process as a parent is like this. How would I feel if the car was indiscriminately snatched from under me without any regard for my personal feelings? She will feel embarrassed if I call her friends and ask for a ride. If she has to call her friends and ask for a ride when she was going to be one of the drivers. If I were she, I would be crushed, and understandably so. There's no way I could be so insensitive. That's why she's going to get the car. So look back at the wording of how the thinker parent said she should get the car and how the feeler parent said she should get the car. A decision-making process, totally different. Now we're going to go with the opposite side. Let's say the both parents decided they will not give the daughter the car, even though they promised the daughter initially to give it to her. But because of the unexpected snowstorm with the worse road conditions, they decided you're not getting the car. So here is the T, the thinker, using their logic. Listen carefully. Parenting is a tough role, and difficult decisions must be made. They are not always decisions liked by everyone. And sometimes that leads to temporary unhappiness. However, I am not called upon as a parent to be liked or to make others happy. As a parent, I must make a responsible decision that reflects me as being a competent role model that are in the best interest for everyone. So again, here's the T parent refusing the car based on logic. Now we're going to have the F parent refusing to give the daughter the car based on emotion. I remember when I was a teenager, one of the ways my parents told me they loved me was by not always giving me what I wanted. And even though I did feel crushed and wounded at the time, when I got over it, I really felt as though they cared about me enough to look out for my best interest. The only loving thing to do is not to let her use the car. So you see here, the thinker uses words like learning lessons, like calculations, like decisions, roles, role models, best interests, and not being liked necessarily, but doing the right thing. While the F is talking about how they feel, personal feelings, they would be embarrassed, crushed, insensitive. From the wording, you could tell right away one's a T and an F. And these are opposite decisions. We describe two opposite decisions, giving the daughter the car, not giving the daughter the car. And they both have similar outlooks to it. So Now, individual T's and F's may be decisive or indecisive. That's not what we're talking about here. The issue here is the process. The thinker is objective and removed, while the feeler is totally involved. Now, both care. To say a thinker doesn't care is not true. Both think. To think that a feeler doesn't think is not true. They both think and they both feel. But the routes that each arrive to their final conclusion are very, very different. Now, men and women. Most men are T's, 2/3 roughly. Most women are F's, 2/3 roughly. That's why in a certain way, opposites attract very often in this way. Sometimes a female prefers a thinking type to complement her, and a thinker needs a feeling type to complement him. But men that are feelers have a problem, because real men don't show feelings. A woman that's a T could have some social problems, because real women feel. They don't make tough decisions. So it is sometimes a challenge when a man, a male, is an F, a feeler, or when a woman is a T, a thinker, because that's not stereotypical. But this male-female dilemma, or a T-F dilemma, happens all the time. A F wants to experience intimacy, a T wants to understand intimacy, and when the two T's, as a married couple, they have challenges because they don't access healthy feelings that they need to feel. Two F's as a couple could be challenging because they could get overly emotional. But then you have T and an F where they really need to learn how to balance the two. Bracha v'hatzlacha.